Okay, welcome back. Let's get going. Hour number two. We have a far too much information as usual to bring you this hour, but we're going to do our best as we work through it. Are you there, young lady?
I am.
We had Wednesday off this week to try and get Catherine Austin Fitz on. Very busy schedule. Very hard to get Catherine. She's just up against the wall, but I hope you enjoyed that on Wednesday. We are back now, and what did you do on your night off? Did you go to your bowling league?
I listened to Catherine Austin Fitz.
Did you? Oh, did you visit your family? I don't know what you do. Anyway. Okay. Well, no, just all seriousness aside, we're here, and it was just a one-off kind of a thing. So, what's happening? There are so many different aspects to this whole horror that continue to pop up. And just very briefly, one of the recent ones had to do with the role that bacteria may be playing in a multiple of some of the key problems, symptomatically, but more than that, physiologically, in the body. Anything you want to, I just popped into my head. What do we know about this bacterial thing? And I mention that because we have the world's best broad-spectrum, all-natural, completely harmless in the negative pharmaceutical sense, antibiotic in Allison C. And I've been urging people to take one a day just as a baseline for them for a long time. Each capsule has over 35 cloves worth of Allison in it. So you're getting a hell of a big boost just with one tablet capsule a day. That's it. So what about this bacterial component, just briefly?
Well, we do know that something happens with the intestinal bacteria with this infection. The bacteria themselves can replicate the virus. And then, of course, we have this issue with the DNA plasmids, bacterial plasmids that are contaminating,
right,
supposedly the vaccines, and whether,
yeah,
or not that is being shed with other people's or the injected microflora, we don't know. But either way, Allison C., I have countless testimonials of people who were struggling with this illness, and, it seemed to be based in the gastrointestinal tract, and it really turned it around. So for whatever reason, whether the
yeah,
pathogenic bacteria are proliferating, or it's known that some of the pathogenic species like the Clostridia have a tendency to produce these venom-like peptides if they're infected by the virus. You know, the Allison C seems to be knocking it down.
Right.
And
it will not
wipe out. I actually
came
across a really interesting thread,
uh-huh,
in the, this is a multiple chemical sensitivities group. And these people are sensitive to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman went to Chinese medicine practitioner, or was it something, an oriental medical medicine practitioner of some sort, and
mm-hmm,
this person prescribed her three different things. One did nothing, one was kind of neutral, and the third thing was Allison, the extract of garlic capsules, and she was blown away that whatever sensitivity she had been suffering from,
mm-hmm,
vanished. And, people were rather incredulous and kind of questioned her on that, and it's anecdotal. I it's not something I heard firsthand, but it was there in this thread, and I thought that's interesting.
That's
but garlic has a
yeah,
a lot of, it's antiviral, antibacterial, and antifungal, and it also helps to thin the blood to some extent.
That's another aspect of it that is priceless to have on your side in this fight against ill health and massive physiological degradation from the bioweapon virus or the bioweapon injection, both. So Allison C., order it right now online, use your card, whatever. It'll ship usually the next day. We've got that all handled now, and we're very happy about that. Okay. Oh, and the other thing that allicin does not do, like pharmaceutical antibiotics do, is go into your digestive tract and virtually annihilate everything. All 7 pounds of your digestive flora and fauna, your bacterial digestive component. Big pharma antibiotics take no prisoners. Allicin is part of garlic. Garlic is a food. So it's a whole different ballgame. And I've seen it do extraordinary things in the nearly 20 years that I've been making it available. And it comes from England, all organic. It's the best. So Allicin C. Dr. Luc Montagnier was here. Why do we always lose these great minds when we need them?
I know it.
It's the most. Wow. Nobel Prize winner, credited with being the legitimate discoverer of HIV. I quoted Montagnier a lot back in the days when I was covering the HIV-AIDS crisis and putting out that book that I did. He was heroic then. And he has left us, gone on to, I hope, a wonderful reward for all the great things he has done. He left one final comment, or I don't know if it was the very last one, it was near the end, and he said this: contrary to what was said at the beginning, these vaccines do not protect absolutely. And this is coming out slowly. This is scientifically recognized by all today. It is not only scientific experiments that say it, but also all patients on whom the effects have been analyzed to prove it. Instead of protecting, as it was said, they can even promote other infections. The protein that has been used in the vaccines for this virus is actually toxic, the spike. It is a poison. Vaccines are not born to kill, but to protect. And there have been many deaths, even young sportsmen, who have major problems because of this vaccine. It is an absolute crime to give these vaccines today to children. It is a crime to do anything to harm a child or to destroy childhood. That's me talking. It can also cause very serious nerve diseases in the brain, such as the spike going after your neurology, microclotting, prion diseases in the brain, etc. Due to the long-term effects of this vaccine, this bioweapon, there are a lot of people who are dying. Neurological pathologies, they can also occur from the first dose, and not only from the second. Even today, no one can predict how many of these people who have been vaccinated now will have major neurological problems in the future. I ask all of my colleagues to absolutely stop vaccinating with this type of vaccine. Doctors today are perfectly informed of what I am saying, and therefore they should intervene immediately because of the future of humanity being at stake. Many countries have forgotten about treatments. There is not only the vaccine, there are drugs that have not been used and that work very well. Only the unvaccinated will be able to save the vaccinated. Only the unvaccinated will be able to save the vaccinated. Vaccinated who will, in any case, contact the medical centers to be saved. We must avoid listening and giving a voice to those who do not have the right to do so, and let science speak. I repeat, it is the unvaccinated who will be able to save humanity. Dr. Luc Montagnier, Nobel laureate. And the unvaccinated are in trouble. They are at risk now. They are in danger because of the extraordinary effectiveness of shedding. So the unvaccinated literally will be the fulcrum upon which this whole thing either falls or survives. So it's quite a statement from Dr. Montagnier. Okay.
Indeed. Yeah, it is unfortunate that we lost him.
I mean, think of all the others we've lost. It goes on and on. Journalist who interviewed right before he died, the last full interview
yeah,
he gave.
Yeah, Arnie Burkhardt, yeah.
Dr. Burkhardt really put it out there. It was a terrific interview. We have it posted. You can find it. Dr. Arnie Burkhardt's final interview. That was an excellent journalistic effort on that. You don't see that very often.
Mm.
Okay. Ukraine Pfizer trial of new children's COVID vaccine. And you might say, what? What is Ukraine doing trialing a new Pfizer children's COVID vaccine? Well, the answer is generally pretty damn simple. They're trying to refine the ability to kill children. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure all this out. Okay, anything you want to add to that? We're going to play this. About 4.5 minutes. It's
yeah,
a pretty good deal.
Yeah, this is an employee, I believe it's an employee, of Pfizer in Ukraine speaking out about what she's seeing in the clinical trials they're conducting for a new children's COVID vaccine, mRNA.
Here we go.
Buddy, today I want to share with you some horrifying news. For my new subscribers, I'm a senior associate scientist at a Pfizer facility in Kyiv. Before, we were only tasked with importing drugs in Ukraine and their distribution here. However, recently we were attached to a big project. I was recommended actually for it due to my experience in clinical trials. As far as I know, usually Pfizer trials are done in strict accordance with the international medical standards and regulations. At least in the documents that were given for me to review, all the regulations were strictly observed. However, the new COVID-19 vaccine trial that's happening right now is just a nightmare. Children are dying. Moreover, subjects aren't even aware that they're being experimented upon. This trial must be suspended immediately, but my employees refused to send the vaccine for revision. Last November, Pfizer brought here a new test drug with the code name C6160B. It's the next generation of COVID-19 vaccine for children. Kids aged from 5 to 11 were being injected with it under the guise of flu shots.
Okay. This is a top Pfizer scientist in Kyiv, Ukraine. I don't think she's going to be working for Pfizer much longer when they see this video. I'm sure they already have. So they're working on a new children's Pfizer mRNA deadly vaccine. Children from age 5 to 11 are right now being injected with it under the guise, you just heard her say, of them being flu shots. So they're lying to the people. I mean, this woman can't believe what she's seeing.
Pfizer employees are only involved in the analytical part of the trials, and shots are being administered by the local nurses in the few children's hospital in Kyiv. I don't know if they are aware that they are offering parents to inject children with our new drug and not with the German equivalent of the flu shot.
But she says, I don't know if the parents are aware of the fact that their children are being injected with this new trial COVID children, COVID-19 Pfizer vax, and not with a German equivalent of the flu shot. They're lying. I mean, she's seeing this, and she's quite shocked.
We have no communication with the hospitals. There's some agreement with the Minister of Health, so we get all the data on the condition of the patients from there. They have an electronic register updated with the data from city hospitals. The first phase was completed extremely fast because the management was pleased with the results. Even then, I wasn't happy with it because the sample size was too small, which I repeatedly talked about at the meetings. Still, the results are satisfying for everybody else, so the trials went on to the second phase.
What's amazing about this is actually a reasonably top drawer scientist working for Pfizer who seems to have a conscience. How often have we seen that? I
Not
can't
enough.
Remember anybody else. This woman seems to be a good person.
Well, it was almost like that Brooke Jackson, who was
right.
the whistleblower on the Pfizer trials here.
That's right.
And she was fired.
She deserves recognition. Thanks for mentioning that. Okay, she says, and that's when the horrors started. Here we go.
That's when the horror started. There was a huge scandal in the research department, and a couple of days after the administration of shots, patients were being hospitalized with hypertension, chest pain, and fever. There were a few cases of fainting as well. We ring the alarm on the day 4 when the first death happened. You know, a 4% rate of death rate and 20% of hospitalization rate were grim results of the vaccination.
So the trial, 4% dead, 20% of those receiving it hospitalized, and this was early on in the trial. And she says, usually this would result in an immediate revision of the drug. But after a short investigation, she says,
usually this would result in an immediate revision of the drug. But after a short investigation, everything was written off as an improper conditions for transporting the batch. And we were ordered to continue testing.
Get it? Everything was written off as improper conditions for transporting the batch, and we were ordered to continue testing. And continue they did.
This violates every regulation in existence. The Ministry of Health did it.
She said this violates every regulation in existence. Her words.
Have any objections also, because the project was coordinated with our President Zelensky?
So, who's calling the shots? It's Zelensky, all right? He's number one.
As a result, the second series of shots followed the first one. You know, 300 more children were vaccinated with almost the same result. I wrote a report demanding that the trials must be stopped immediately. And today I was told that the trials are approved to go on the third phase and the drug will be revised in the process.
So today she was told that the trials were approved by Zelensky to go on to the third phase and the drug will be revised in the process.
They say the company only has time until May, so no one is going to shift or freeze or cancel the project and the trials. You know, I'm speechless. We started these trials to help children, not to injure them or murder them.
This is a part of the trials documentation, and we can see the mortality chart. As I said before, the mortality rate is extremely high in the second phase, but the trials aren't stopping. This is a fragment of the list of children patients. Some of them are already dead. In 3 months, around 1,000 children were vaccinated in 5 different Kyiv hospitals. Right behind our office is the Institute of Cardiovascular Surgery with Children's Ward. Some children were brought there. Our experts could examine them personally.
The next phase is set to begin on February 12th, and tomorrow I will once again demand the higher-ups to stop the trials. I can just watch our country becoming the test field for illegal medical trials.
Well, I would put that woman in charge of the CDC tomorrow if I could. As an ethical mind, an ethical person, she's seeing these children literally be murdered, her word. And yet on the 12th of February, just a couple of days ago, test number three began. It's a big test. And obviously Zelensky is being paid off, or he wouldn't be so firm in ordering it to continue without looking into it if he were a man of conscience, which he is not. This, I hope this woman hasn't been fired already, but she keeps doing this, she will be, or worse. This is an evil country, a horrible government. We all know what's going on over there.
The population is decimated.
Decimated. How many U.S.-financed CIA-type bioweapon labs were there at one point scattered around the country? It was over 20. I can't remember the number now.
Oh, I thought it was 40.
I think it was double, 40. Double that. There were a lot of them, dozens, several dozen, okay? And they were up to no good. Everybody's getting paid off there. It's probably the biggest sewer rat hole country on the planet.
Mm.
It's right up there at the top if it isn't. Anyway, I thought you'd find that interesting. So we have that up. I'll try and put it up under guests a little later if you want to hear it again, but it will be in headlines as well. Okay. Onward to our next video tonight. We've got some clips. Tell us what we're going to hear.
Okay, so this was the FLCCC's normal Wednesday night webinar. And this week they had on Professor Angus Dalgleish, who is a UK oncologist. I would call him an elite scientist. He's, I think, unsurpassed in his field. He was renowned for discovering the receptor for HIV back in the day, and he did a lot of work on developing a HIV vaccine, which they had quite a successful prototype, but the powers that be wouldn't let them use it. And so he's moved on into the field of oncology, and he is speaking this week with Pierre Corey and Paul Merrick about the turbo cancers that are now becoming rather common.
Okay, I'm getting it set here. All right, here we go. Hang on 1 second. Turn this down. 1951. All right. Here we go. I think we're right. Oh, we got to go back just a little bit. All right. Okay, that's close enough. All right, here we go. Now, again, Dr. Angus Dalgleish, D-A-L-G-L-E-I-S-C-H, I think it is, or S-H, Dalgleish, and Dr. Paul Merrick, and who else is in here? Peter Corey up at the top there. Okay, here we go.
Cured with immunotherapy, 5, 10, 18 was the longest. Completely stable, and then...
Pardon me, I got to back this up. It jumped way ahead of where it was for some reason. I don't know why this does that. Okay, let me take it back. There's where it's supposed to begin. Here we go.
Change direction a little bit. I know you've spoken about turbo cancers, so maybe you can tell us what you think, because, you know, many people think that, you know, turbo cancers following the vaccine is a conspiracy that's been contrived by anti-vax people. But, you know, we believe it's a real entity. And so are you seeing a big uptake in cancers post-vaccination?
Well, that's what I was got involved mainly for, was I actually tried to publish saying that what I'm seeing is a relapse in cancers, first of all. And I did melanoma, and I've seen patients who'd been cured with immunotherapy. 5, 10, 18 was the longest. Completely stable, and then they have the first relapse after the booster. Not after the first two, but after the booster. And I became immediately suspicious because that in my cancer vaccine research, we'd come across a model whereas one vaccine is good, the second only useful really if the first one was a bit weak, but the third one interferes with the benefit of the first two, the fourth one completely wipes out any benefit and encourages any disease that's pre-existing. And of course, this model jumped into my head when I started to see the relapse with the booster vaccine. And then I realized that the other thing, adage that I'd learned, because I've been researching cancer vaccines for nearly three decades, and I've learned an awful lot from this. The first thing I've learned is the most important thing to induce is a good, strong, innate cell-mediated T-cell response, because without that, you lose control. So that's what I was looking for. And what we noticed was if you have a very strong vaccine that induces an inflammatory antibody response, it interferes with that T-cell control and starts to suppress it. That's what we had seen from our model, and that's what immediately came to mind when I started to see these patients relapse. Well, we now know there's papers out there showing that after the booster, the T-cells are suppressed in the cancer patients. Not all of them, some of them, enough to cause this problem. Indeed, one of the papers really appropriately calls it T-cell exhaustion. I mean, the T-cells, just those that are there, just non-functional. So I think that was clever, and it goes side by side with the IgG switch that occurs after the booster, where you no longer produce IgG 1 and 3, it switches to IgG4, which is what you want if you've got a transplant on board. So if you've got tolerization and no T cells, any cancer that's there being controlled by your innate immunity is going to pop out. Now, I mentioned I saw it in melanoma, a core patient of mine who was actually one of my best friends. I'd been skiing with him every year for 30 years. He'd only had the booster because his wife wanted to go traveling to celebrate her 70th birthday. And they were told by all the travel companies, if she didn't have the booster and he didn't have the booster, they couldn't go. So he had the booster. And he said he never felt well since that booster. His wife developed arthritis for the first time in her life after the booster. He then started to feel very unwell with muscle pains, etc., had a severe back. He had to get scanned. His spine and pelvis were riddled, and they were riddled with melanoma, and he had the best treatment he could possibly have had. He had the latest immunotherapy. He had Ipi-Nivo. He had Zanita and all the other things for the bone, and he was dead within weeks. This is the first turbo cancer I have ever seen like that for decades.
Because how long had he been in remission, Gus?
Pardon?
How long had he been in remission under control?
About 18 months. And he had quite a thin cancer, so I never expected him to relapse. Never, ever expected. And he was, that's the other thing, this guy was fit. I mean, he was really, really fit. He's one of the best skiers I've ever skied with. And, you know, he was as strong as an ox. And to me, this was just a personal tragedy. And I realized as then I interviewed his wife, who got this severe arthritis, for which she's still on anti-TNF medication 2 years later. The amount of damage the booster vaccines have caused, that's what I'm focusing on. I mean, the first two did enough damage with clotting and strokes and God knows what else. But it's the boosters with cancer that I've become focused on. And I think it's an absolute crime and negligence to say you should have a booster to...
Angus,
yes?
Why are these tumors so aggressive? Do you think it's the profound immune suppression together with the IgG4 switch? Or is there some other reason?
Well, those two are enough to allow for the tumors just to relapse. But these really aggressive ones, it does suggest there's something else driving them. And we do know that spike protein can integrate. And there are reports that it can bind to suppressor genes, P53, MSH3, etc. and, you know, and what else it could be interfering with. And we know from Ryan Cole that that some of these metastatic tumours actually have the spike protein from the vaccine, because you cannot confuse the two, because it's a really artificial spike protein messenger RNA for the vaccine. If it was natural, it wouldn't be there, because it would have been dissolved in 20 seconds, like all RNA should be. So, I mean, it's multifactorial, I think.
Do you think another component is this DNA plasmid with these promoter sequences could be driving this?
Yes, indeed. I mean, that's clearly another one. The other one is the promoter sequence. SV40 is a very right. well-known, you know, driver of this. And, you know, how many other things are there we don't know about that it's unleashed?
Have you seen this? You know, we use the term turbo. It's probably not has a clear definition, but you use the term just aggressive cancers. Mm. Now that you've seen so many of these, does that relate to your prior experience, just how fast these things are moving and how aggressive they are? I mean, have you had cases similar, or this is really unprecedented?
Previously, before COVID came along, you would occasionally get them. Yes, I mean, they did exist. Particularly colorectal cancer in young patients. Some of those have presented previously very aggressive. Now the number of young people with colorectal cancer is exploding, and they are very much turbo cancers. So it's more evident, really, than in the melanoma. And, you know, I've had another case I knew very well, a lymphoma in remission for years, who had to have the booster to go overseas for his son's wedding. Whilst, celebrating the wedding, at the end he didn't feel that well, had to go back home, had a relapse of his lymphoma. Remember, he just had a booster to go for this travelling, so it was within a few weeks. And what was fascinating was that I had warned his wife of my suspicions about this, that, and the other. And I said, for Christ's sake, don't let them give him another COVID vaccine because he's at risk. And she gave back to me and she said, it's very interesting that when the guy took him on board, the oncologist, he said the same as you, he must not have any more vaccines.
Wow.
I said, really? And you hadn't even primed or told him.
Yeah, interesting. So other oncologists have recognized, I mean, they're not as public, they haven't come out in public, but this was just a standard oncologist that he contacted and he gave the same advice.
Yeah, exactly. And this friend lived in California, so this is a U.S. lymphoma specialist. Mm.
But Angus, what you're saying is it seems not... Okay. And it doesn't follow...
There's our first... We've got three pieces in this video we want to present tonight. So, yeah, first of all, never trust anybody in California. Now, secondly, sorry, I couldn't resist. Dr. Pierre Corey is talking to Dr. Dalgleish, and these are horror stories. Apparently, latent cancers or cancers that have been put into remission are just given the green light to go like hell, and they do. I'm still amazed to hear people accepting people who know people, at least if they're not actually in the medical and health fields, taking these boosters to go travel somewhere. I just don't. They've heard the stories. They know what's going on. They know it's dangerous, and they say, it can't happen to me, so I'll just get the booster. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is also suggestive of an incremental set or a singular, I don't know, probably a set of drivers that are not in every shot. When you get a booster, there's something different about the booster. It's not just number three in the series. Something else is seemingly in this, from what I'm hearing now, that's triggering cancer to go crazy. It's a different driving mechanism.
It's just these successive assaults, the immune system is, has to generate a very strong inflammatory antibody right. response, and that right. in turn is suppressing the T cells. But now let's not forget that booster was designed to protect or code for the Omicron variant, and there was a lot of rumors that the Omicron variant was had some kind of oncogene in it.
Correct.
So,
I remember that.
Well, I don't know.
I think there's something else added to it. I just have a feeling. I'm not a doctor
like these
people.
Well, it's a perfect cocktail. It was
yes.
consistently found in the trials that they did, particularly with the mm-hmm. animals. And it never got beyond a phase one with humans.
And
what were the long-term effects? You know, where are those humans now in the very few studies that were done?
Right. All right, here's part two of our little excerpt offering tonight from this long video, which we will put up in guests so you can go to it in its entirety if you'd like to. Cancer in the post-COVID era. I wonder if we really are in a post-COVID era. I kind of doubt it.
No.
I really now think that the COVID vaccine program has been the biggest disaster ever inflicted on humanity in my lifetime.
Yes.
With all due respect, greatest respect, Dr. Dalgleish is still missing the boat. It's not a vaccine. It's not a failed vaccine. It is a weapon that was conceived, created, and deployed to do precisely what it's doing. They still will not address it as such. I think they're eventually going to have to, but they can't go there.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that nobody has stopped it when there's been so many red flags, so many yellow cards, so many theirs, is a negligence on a scale which it is criminal. Actually, it really is criminal. So many people have been killed by the vaccines, and yet the leading sayers say, this vaccine has saved millions of lives. We get this all, but there is no evidence for that whatsoever. So I now think, for what I said, my fear is all these vaccinated people are primed to increase their chances of getting cancer. It's like you put the whole population on 60 cigarettes a day for life. I mean, it's that type of priming. And so I think that one of our most important issues is, can we detoxify that spike protein? I think that is our biggest mission, is to try and do that and show it scientifically, so you can get the circulating cells or a biopsy tissue from vessels or something, do a detoxification regimen, and do you reduce it, get rid of it, the way we do with circulating tumor cells. And of the things that I think are most important, it's vitamin D, low-dose naltrexone, ivermectin, and there are others out there. Peter McCullough's very keen on natokinase, which I haven't looked at, I must say. N-acetylcysteine is another one that comes up when you scour all those things that might be beneficial. And probably
that's natokinase and NAC, N-acetylcysteine, is what he just said.
Many more. But I personally think that is the most pressing thing of a healthcare authority, is not signing up to the WHO to prepare for the next pandemic, disease X, which I am afraid, as you know, I was the first, my friend Sorensen, Birger Sorensen, to call out that this virus came from the lab 100%. It's not even debatable. There were six inserts in that sequence. And why did nobody discuss it? They just told us to be quiet. These six inserts gave the receptor binding region. And remember, I was told, I was dismissed by my chief medical officer as just a clinician. I did all this work on HIV receptor. I know what I'm talking about. This receptor binding region of COVID had the highest charge ever in coronaviruses. It was there to make it act like a fridge magnet. So it came anywhere near a cell, it snapped onto it. It doesn't just use the ACE receptor, as everybody says. It latches onto alternative receptors. And two of them we were able to pick up. They're the receptors you use for taste and smell, which happens to go when you get infected. It was all there, but we were ignored, dismissed. Nobody would publish it. We were rejected, not in the public interest at all. And in that paper, which we had to publish under disguise, we actually pointed out 80% of the spike protein had homology to humans. And in the case of platelet factor 4 and myelin, it was virtually 100%. So we said, use the whole spike protein, then you're going to get big clotting problems, neurological problems. But unfortunately, we're blown away when 150 people published in Nature that that was the way to make a COVID vaccine. You couldn't make it up.
Okay, very interesting comment about the spike. And we've said this for years here, that it's not just the ACE2. There are others that it likes. And he said
many,
it snapped onto it. Pardon me?
Many others.
Many. And he said it snaps onto them like a magnet to a refrigerator magnet. Boom. It doesn't carefully sidle up to it, cozy up to it, and look for the ACE2 and link up. No. This spike is the deadliest thing ever created and released on humankind. All right, any other comment on this section? That was a very good one. See, they still can't get to the point where they admit that the virus was lab-created. What does that tell you? It's a weapon, for God's sakes. All right. Okay, all right, we got one more clip here. Let me jump to that. Okay, I'm ready. Here we go.
That interview this morning, and I listened to every word again. I was like completely zero. Never would I give anybody Gardasil or recommend Gardasil to anyone.
Here's a long question from a doctor in Japan, from Dr. Katsuhiko Fukuda in Japan. The doctor says, in Japan, in the midst of the seventh booster dose of the mRNA vaccine, another COVID-19 infectious wave is spreading, and the number of so-called multisystemic turbocarcinomas continues to increase. There is concern that the world's most commonly administered dose of molnupiravir may amplify mutant strains caused by the Replicon vaccine, which has begun to be administered and has become a new problem in Japan.
Okay, they're administering the Replicon vaccine in Japan right now to people. 20 seconds on that.
I'm shocked. I mean, we knew they had announced it, that they had approved it. And then shortly after that, though, they had a committee hearing that, you know, they were concerned about the prion domains being found in the spike, and maybe we should think about stopping these, and now it's too late. The horse is out of the barn.
Replicon meaning it can replicate itself.
Oh, well, this is a self-amplifying mRNA, the Arcturus.
Exactly. Okay, here we go.
Along with cancer from DNA gene contamination of the mRNA vaccine. Are there any criteria that can clearly diagnose turbo cancer after vaccination?
So that's a good question. There aren't specific tumor markers we know of that can separate turbo cancer from a regular cancer, but many oncologists, if they actually do a biopsy or look at the specimen, can find spike protein within the tumor. And we know that many tumor, you know, in vitro experiments, that spike protein binds to the surface of cancer cells. So probably the best way of distinguishing, you know, regular cancer from turbo cancer is to find spike protein within the tumor. The other thing, and Pierre can maybe answer, is, and I don't know, is if one looks at anti-spike antibodies, it's possible that these patients have high levels. I don't know.
That's a good point you just made, but let me go back to the original question. To me, this term that is turbo cancer, that's a clinical diagnosis, and we don't have clear criteria. Like, if you saw in the interview with Gus, you know, I asked him, like, you know, I kind of just said, we haven't defined what turbo cancer is. It's essentially, it's an aggressive cancer that progresses rapidly and that causes, you know, rapidly diminishing function or symptoms in a rapid fashion. That's a clinical thing. So there's no test for turbo cancer. That's a clinical one. But what Paul said is interesting. It's more like, you know, is there a way to assess the role of the spike protein in those cancers? And Paul, remind me, we have had a few cases where we sent biopsy samples to Ryan Cole and he stained for spike and he found a lot of spike protein in the cancers. And so that's a different question. The second question would be like, how can you tell if the spike protein is, you know, contributing or implicated in that cancer? And there you would need to do a biopsy, secondary stains for spike protein. But very few people are doing that. I mean, that's another one of the massive frauds in COVID is that no one is staining for spike protein. I mean, Arne Burkhardt in Germany did it. Suturi Bhakti did it. But very few people have done it. Ryan Cole is trying to do it. But in general, they're not looking for spikes. So they don't actually know what's causing all these illnesses.
There's a question from Ari Goldberg who says, which is the bigger contributor to the cancers, the spike protein in the mRNA vaccines or the plasma DNA contamination from the manufacturing process?
I mean, that's clear we don't know the answer. I mean, that was covered with the interview with Gus. I mean, Gus gave several different mechanisms for why cancers are exploding. DNA plasma contamination with the promoter sequences in that, the immunosuppression, the attacks on the tumor suppressor genes that we have. I mean, it's a whole. I mean, I think I think it would be a really amazing field of study, but I actually don't think that at the same time. Meaning, why study it? Just stop the vaccines. We have so many.
Okay. Just stop the vaccines. Well, yes, and I was in Rite Aid the other day. And I saw a young father with his daughter, 10, 11 maybe, really sweet-looking girl, and they were sitting in the chairs waiting to go into the room to get vaxxed. And I don't know if they were getting flu vax or COVID vax. I would suggest it was COVID. They're telling me in that store I asked, they give him all the same day, different shots, but they'll give three or four in one day. And I just said to myself, do I have some kind of an obligation as someone with knowledge to go up and talk to this father momentarily and ask him to do some more research before he injects his daughter with anything, but most especially COVID. And it was a real moral crisis moment for me. I didn't know what to do. I didn't do anything because he might have become very angry. Might have called the cops, not that I'm afraid of the cops, but you never know. So it's tough. It's tough for all of us who understand what's going on out there not to get involved, not to go up to people and want to just grab them and shake them and say, stop, listen, do your research before you do this. They haven't done it. You know that. So
no,
anyhow,
they are, at this stage of the game, they are completely brainwashed. If they cannot
it's
see...
Gone.
The
no,
carnage in front of them. Nothing you say is going to get through to them.
That's why I didn't go over, but I wanted to. People have a God-given right to know, but not according to this government, they don't. They're being lied to.
Well, and it's not going to stop. There's clinical trials happening right now in the Ukraine, probably prepping for sale of that particular concoction here.
In May or June, you got it. School's out.
I just wanted to... Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go.
On the heels of that question about whether or not you can detect cancer after the vaccine, I think their answer was somewhat incomplete, or maybe I understood it to mean, is there any way to determine whether you're developing cancer after having had these vaccines, even though you may not be having symptoms? And I want to say that, yeah, there is blood testing that you can do that look for specific proteins, blood markers that are associated with the development of cancer. There used to be something called an AMAS test, anti-malignant antibody test, and I don't think that's available anymore, but more recently there's something called a oncoblot test, and it's not particularly expensive. I think it's around $100, and your physician can order it, and it will look for specific protein in the blood that is only produced by cancer cells, and it can match it to 25 different organs that it might have originated from.
Interesting.
So the detection mm-hmm. is